Thank you, Brother Danny. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach. I do have an outline sheet. If you did not get one, if you'll raise your hand, we got some guys who will come give you one. This will be beneficial to you tonight, so please get you one. Plus, we're going to have a little fun time as well. So make sure you get you an outline sheet. And also have a pen ready, too, okay? Because we're going to have some little fun here in just a few minutes. You know, it's hard to believe that 2023 is already almost over. I know that we haven't celebrated Christmas yet, and it's going to be here in just a few days. And we'll be getting past Christmas and looking toward the 1st of January, which is always times that we do what? New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Anybody? All right, some of you. Well, one thing that I like to do every year is I like to try to just do a review of some things that I struggled with through the year, some things that I need to improve on, some things that I want to do better. This is a personal thing. And as I've been studying to get my certification from ACBC and doing a lot of counseling and studying and all that, and doing a lot of counseling, one thing I've realized is that many people, have no idea what we're going to talk about tonight. They have no idea. They don't even know what it is. People know how to, of course, know how to read their Bible. The Bible tells us that about reading the Bible. Many people know about studying the Bible. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many people know how to memorize God's word, and Bible memorization is very important for us as Christians. But very few people know about the fourth aspect of that, and that is Bible meditation. Bible meditation. Now, meditation has kind of received a bad rap in our society today, because of yoga, you know, and transcendental meditation, and many of those activities. And I'm not against exercise. I love to exercise when I get a chance. But yoga, for example, or meditation from yoga, they tell you that we need to empty our mind. We're going to clear our mind. Much the same thing with transcendental meditation. But Bible meditation is different. Where the world and secular society tells us we need to clear our mind, and by the way, that's a very dangerous thing, because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 9, the heart is deceitful. That's our mind, our will, our emotions. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's very dangerous to empty our mind. Now, really, as Christians who want to live for the Lord and do what's right and pleasing in His sight, ought not to empty our minds. We ought to fill our minds, and we ought to fill our minds, of course, the Word of God. So tonight I want to kind of ask a question in the form of a question. Why do I need to practice biblical meditation? If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you practice biblical meditation? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I believe there would be several that could not raise their hand, because they really don't know, have never been taught what biblical meditation is. What is it? So tonight, I just want to take just a little bit of time and try to get through this as fast as I can to try to be a help to you about biblical meditation. Let's look in Joshua chapter 1. Pastor just preached on this back a few weeks ago when he was talking about Joshua. But I want us to look in Joshua chapter 1, look in verse number 6. The Bible says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of your good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Why do I need to practice biblical meditation? Why is it so important that I practice biblical meditation? I believe that number one, the reason is because it's a command. It's a command. Did you notice it in that passage of Scripture? He tells us, the Lord tells us, of course, to be strong and of good courage. And then in verse number 8, he tells us that thou shalt what? Meditate. Thou shalt meditate therein. Now, what is biblical meditation? The biblical meditation, they tell us, is the act of focusing one's mental energies on a specific topic in an effort to achieve resolution or peace of mind. Biblical meditation narrows that definition to a spiritual exercise focused upon Scripture. In biblical meditation, a person deliberately quiets their heart and contemplates certain verses. And ask the question, what is this saying to me about my life, and what is this saying about my situation? Now let me just stop here and just say, people I counsel, they never even think about going to the Word of God to figure out anything what's going on in their life. Or do they even consider what the Word of God has to say about a situation that is going on in their life? Let me remind you about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, where the Bible tells us that God gives us everything for life and godliness. Everything that we need for this life that we live in the material world, but He also gives us everything we need to live in the spiritual world and be a success spiritually. And don't you want that for your life? I know I do. So biblical meditation is very important. So what did God mean when He said this in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6 through 8? It's important to know the context and the culture in which He commanded this. Joshua was the new leader of the Israelite people. They were receiving their new promised land, and he was in charge of leading them in holiness and righteousness, and he was appointed to do this, of course, by God Himself. Now, listen. Joshua not only knew the Word of God, but it was also on his lips. It was something that he talked about all the time. He spoke it over and over so that it was on his heart. And the words of God would not depart from him because he meditated on them. He meditated, as the Bible says, on it day and what? Day and night. It's also mentioned in Psalm 1. Blesses a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. Now, keep in mind that that passage of Scripture was written by two different authors. Two different authors, and during two different separate time periods, so we can conclude that meditation is a very important thing to we as Christians. And we can't say it's not, because it is. It's important that we see that what comes out of meditating on God's law, what comes out of it? The Bible says it there, prosperity and success. Now, listen, we're not talking about the prosperity from some of those TV evangelists out there that are telling you, if you'll send you your money, if you'll send me $10, you'll get $10,000. Biblical prosperity and success is something that money cannot buy. It cannot buy. And from the very beginning of God's people, starting, of course, with Abraham, we see meditation mentioned. Meditation comes very early in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time. Of course, he looked up and saw Rebekah coming, and of course, that's a great story. King David meditated in Psalm 19:40, which says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto God, my strength and my redeemer. What did he mean by meditations of my heart? He was saying his inward thoughts continually was revolving in his mind. Or another way to say it is that God's word was always in his mind. Always. It was conceived in his mind. If we go to the New Testament, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And you remember the angel coming to Mary and telling Mary what was going to happen? And the Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. What does that mean? That she thought about them. She meditated on those things that the angel told her. The Lord Jesus even meditated on the word during his temptation when he said what? It is written. Now you say, well, Brother Earl, Jesus knew the word. You're right, he was the word. But he stated, it is written. What did he do? He meditated on those things. He meditated on the scripture. The Apostle Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both, here it is, save thyself and them that hear thee. So meditation is a practice of turning each truth we learn about God and His Word into a matter of reflection before God, which leads us to prayer, which leads us to praise for God. It's simply a prolonged thought that we keep going on through the day. So we see that, first of all, that it is commanded, but the object of meditation, first of all, is the Word of God. Write that down. Another object of meditation is the person of God. The Bible says in Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now listen to me real quick. How many times do we get in bed at night, we're tired of what all has gone on through the day, we've got worries and worries and worries and anxieties and anxieties and anxieties. We go to bed and we try to figure out, how in the world am I going to get all this figured out, when the Bible says, what should we do? Meditate on God's Word in bed. Meditate it. Meditate on God's Word in bed. So we need to meditate on the person of God. That's a great... So not only should we meditate on the person of God, we also ought to meditate on the works of God. Listen to this verse, Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Did you get that? Talk about all thy doings. In other words, what it's saying is that we need to talk more about what God is doing in our lives. Talk more about what God is doing in our lives and give Him glory for what's going on. Amen? So, hey, listen, we need to practice biblical meditation because it's a command. But thou shalt meditate day and night. So not only should we meditate, and not only because it's a command, but secondly because it is crucial. It is crucial. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, I know you're going to ask this question, Brother Earl. Why is this crucial? Well, let me give you a verse. You know this verse, Psalm 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Say it with me. Sin against God. There are a lot of Christians out there that are struggling with their sin and seem to can't get victory over their sin or their stubborn habits. They do this program, they do that program, they do this, they do that, but yet they read their Bible, they study their Bible, they memorize their Bible, but yet they still struggle. And why is that? Because they do all that in a 15 or 20 minute time that we call in the morning devotions, and then the rest of the 11 hours and 45 minutes, they're all connected to the world and totally forget about God all through the day. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, they'll spend 15 minutes with God, and they'll read, study, and they'll memorize the scripture, and then they'll walk away and they won't have any other thoughts about God the rest of the day. Psalm 143 verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. And then I want you to notice something. It says, I muse on the work of thy hands. That word muse is a very interesting word. It was a name given to an ancient Greek god who spent a whole lot of time in solitude and thinking. The statue of the thinker is an artistic concept of deep concentration and absorption. Now, you take the word muse and add the word awe to it, or a, what do you get? A muse. It's where we get the word amusement from. Amuse. You see, we have amusement parks. We have amusement in sports. We have amusement in games. We have amusement in television and scores of other tools used by Satan to keep God's people from concentrate on our God. And that happens, though, so much. And why is it people struggle? It's because they are so involved in getting amused all the time that they totally forget God, forget His Word, and don't even think about it through the rest of the day. And the Bible says that thou shalt meditate how often? Day and night. Day and night. The psalmist said this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Psalm 119 verse 103 says, how sweet are the words of my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And what the psalmist is saying here is very simply this. It's not the mere touching of the flower that the bee gathers honey. But what that bee has to do is it has to abide right there by that flower for a time to draw out the sweetness of that. And the psalmist is trying to get us to figure out the same thing. It's not just coming and touching the flower. It's coming and staying there. It's not just coming and spending a little bit of time with God. It's coming and spending a lot of time with God day and night. And that's what it's talking about. Listen, it's not he who reads the most, but he who meditates the most who will prove to be the choicest, sweetest, and wisest, strongest Christian. Listen to this. Saturation with the Scriptures is a secret to satisfaction of our souls. So what is the key? What is the key to meditation? The reason you and I struggle with sin and don't get victory is because you and I do only what is required. We just want to check the box of doing our devotions each day, and we don't make it a daily 24-hour period of concentrating totally on the Lord. What we need to do is do what Jesus did and go a little bit farther. Amen? And meditate all through the day and all through the night, not just only during our devotion time. So I'm going to give you some keys to engaging the Word of God that will help you tonight, okay? Now, here's where we're going to have some fun, okay? All right. First of all, I'm sure you noticed on your outline sheet there is a page that doesn't have anything on it. And some of you said, Brother Earl, you've really messed up this time. Nope, did it on purpose, okay? Now we're going to have a little bit of fun. I want you to take your hand, okay, preferably your left hand, but if you want to use your right, that's fine. And I want you to take a pen, I want you to draw your hand. You know, like the turkey you did during, you know, Thanksgiving, do it like that. Draw that on there, okay? All right, I'm going to give you some things to help you remember how important or how to meditate on Scripture. We use the acrostic, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, yield, right? I hope you use that, okay? So let me give you something else that I think will be a help to you. Now, remember those two questions I asked you before? What is the Word of God saying to me about my life and my situation? And what is it saying about my God? If you're faithful to do this, you'll find a victory in a lot of your situations. So, first of all, I want you to take it, and right there at your pinky finger, I want you to put the word here. Here. And guys, you can go ahead and put that ugly little picture up. Oh, look at there. Wow, it looked a whole lot better than how I did it. Thank you, Brian, for taking care of that, okay? Now, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you a lot of information. to help you with meditation. But first of all, the Bible says here. And I want you, that's at the pinky finger. This literally describes the crucial intake of the word. Mark 4:23, it says, if a man have ears, let him hear. Now listen, it's not the hearing that goes in one ear and out the other ear, which all of us men have problems with. And all of God's men said, amen, okay? Oh no, right? No, the word hear there means listening with the intent of obeying. It's what that means, okay? Listening with the intent of obeying. All right? Romans 10:7 says, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is just the first thing to put into practice on meditation, okay? Now, I want you to do something. Take your Bible. Everybody take your Bible. And I'm going to try to teach you how to do a firm grip on your Bible meditation, okay? All right? Everybody got your Bible in your hand? All right, now what I want you to do, I want you to take your pinky, and I want you to take your thumb, and I want you to hold your Bible like that. Kind of hard to do, isn't it? Kind of difficult. You're not going to be able to hold it there. You don't have a good grip of it. Well, the next part of that is your thumb, which is the think part. All right? And what is that? And the psalm says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to think about it. But just thinking and hearing doesn't get a good grip on what the Word of God says. You don't have a good grip. To get a good grip, what do you need? You need your whole hand. You need every one of your fingers. So let's add the rest of these. The next one is to examine. That's your ring finger. The Bible says in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That means to examine the word refers to reading the word regularly and doing it in a systematic way. We're getting ready to start a brand new year. Have you got a systematic way of reading the word of God? Have you thought about that yet? Let me get you to think about that. We have that in the bulletins. However you want to do it, but make sure on an everyday basis that you're reading the Word of God and to examine it, okay? The next one is to analyze, and that's the middle finger. This is digging deeper, a discipline that is aided greatly by learning to dig into the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Whether those things were true. And we know the verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. So we need to analyze. We need to hear. We need to examine. We need to analyze. And then we need to remember. And that's your pointer finger. The index finger is very important in strengthening your grip. Have you ever tried to shake someone's hand without your pointer finger, or pull a trigger without, it's hard to do. Why? That gives that firm grip, okay? And that's what we need to do by remembering the word, memorize the word, committing a passage or a paragraph or a chapter or a book to memory by repetition. And listen, we know this, if we don't use our mind, what are we going to do? We're going to lose it. Listen, Dr. Barber just doesn't get up here on Sunday morning and quote a scripture that he just got 2 or 3 hours ago. We know that. It's something that he's continued over and over and over and over and over. Not just for days, not just for weeks, not just for months, but for years. And that's what biblical meditation is. All right? Now, did you notice hear, examine, analyze, remember, think? It's acrostic for what? Heart. Did you see that? So we need to apply these things to our heart, to our mind, our will, and our emotions. Everything we think about, all the decisions that we make, and even to my feelings, they need to make sure they line up with what the Word of God says. And then the most important is the application, and that's the palm. Once you have the Word firmly in grip, firming in your heart, you must put the Word into practice. Why? Because if we do all these things and do not put the Word of God into practice, let me tell you what Jesus says. We're modern-day Pharisees. We're modern-day Pharisees. They were steeped in the Word, but they were lacking spiritual obedience. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Luke chapter 6, verse 46, where it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So we've got to make sure we apply this, all right? And then lastly tonight, why do I need to do biblical meditation? Not only is it a command, not only is it crucial, because it makes a change. Notice what it says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What is the end of biblical meditation? This is where a lot of people miss it. The crown fruit of meditation is a changed life. Can I even go a little further? Not just is it a changed life, it is a transformed life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye," what? "Transformed by the renewing of our," that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mentioned about the Pharisees a while ago. They knew the facts. They were experts in doctrine. They were conscientious. They were sincere. They were dedicated. But the Lord calls them the sons of Satan. The Bible says, Jesus called them, "You are of your father, the devil." And this had to be a very stinging indictment. Because of all their study of the Old Testament, what happened? There was no change in their life at all. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather." What was he saying about that? He was alluding to the importance of applying the truth we learn to our lives. And the religious hypocrites continued to oppress the poor, defraud the widows, and pursue doubtful business practices. And here it is, guys, in a word, no repentance signified they had no regeneration. We need to beware of meditation that ends in pious words without pious practices. And I know I pulled that word out. You would say, "What in the world does that mean?" I'm glad you asked. Pious means having or showing a dutiful spirit of reverence for God or an earnest wish to fulfill religious obligations. Again, it's not about a relationship. It's all about obligations. You see the difference there? You see the difference? James 1:22 tells us, "Be ye doers of the word and not" what? "Hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So true meditation fuels God honoring moral actions. And a changed attitude toward God and fellow man should be a result, including things like a changed habit in our work, a changed relationship with our family. In short, it really is a changed life. And that's where a lot of people are missing it, because they don't meditate. They don't even think about the Scriptures. They don't think about God. May our attitude be like the psalmist who said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Philippians 4, verse number 8 tells us one thing about how our thinking needs to be the right thinking. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," or truth, "whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think," or what? "Meditate on these things." So verse 8 tells us that we need to have the right thinking. Verse 9 tells us that we often don't even remember because we just have verse number 8 memorized. Verse number 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." That may we be thinking on the right living. Not just the thinking, but also the right living. Listen, when you truly delight or you take pleasure in the Word, and you have a desire or a craving or a longing for the Word, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you're going to naturally delight in the Word of God. And you'll see God begin to do a lot of things in your life. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to delight and the dynamic to understand God's holy word. And in humility, we need to ask the Lord to illuminate the scriptures in our heart so that we can be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not going to get that by spending all of our days around amusement. Not going to do it. But we are going to be able to do it when we meditate on God's word day and night. Let's bow our heads. Pastor, you come.